Nick Kyprios, Sportsnet hockey analyst, Sportsnet hockey insider. I don't know if this guy will even sleep between now and Monday's NHL trade deadline. I mean, are you even allowed to sleep at a time like this, sir?
I am allowed to sleep. Elliot Friedman and Chris Johnson are not allowed to sleep. You know, they're the young, hungry guys during this time of year. I'm kind of getting old now, so I pass the torch.
Hey, how was I can't even think, it all is blurry, Kipper. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago that we had John and you were going to the reunion? How was that?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
What every Vancouver fan wants to hear, Kipper. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, we're just being friendly. Yeah. I'm gonna
94 Cup reunion. Yeah. Here we go.
I was wondering if people still remembered in New York. a few of them have. But it was great more than anything, and I don't care what team you're on, whether you've won championships or not, getting together with a bunch of guys that you put your heart and soul into is always a great experience. And great bunch of guys, no different than what Trevor Linden or Kirk McLean would say with the group in 94. So that's what it's all about.
Hey, Seaball and I did a Canucks alumni event a couple of weeks ago, and they had a draft out here. So I saw a lot of the old guys. You tell me. You know, and they come up on stage, and we see a lot of them around, but some came from different distances. Who would have won the fitness testing if you had it 2 weeks ago from that team, and who might not have made it through the fitness testing?
Yeah, that's a good question. First of all, Alex Kovalev, who still could probably play. I think any of those Russians that we had, Nemchinov, you know, Zubov, there's a guy that's going to go in the Hall of Fame, I think, in the next year or two. Those guys, we know what fitness meant to them from the moment we were introduced to the Summit Series in 72. So any of those guys, as far as, you know, Canadians and Americans, we all look like we're ready for the home.
You're not throwing anyone under the bus. Good on you.
Kipper, Nick Kyprios with us here on Sportsnet 650. I noticed that you didn't mention Isa Tikkanen, but I'm not completely surprised.
Actually,
that one.
You know what? Teek's looking good, too. He's had some challenges over the last, 15, 20 years, but he looked great. He sounded great, and it sounded like, he was enjoying his life, which is most important for all of us.
We're just, 72 hours or so away from the NHL's trade deadline, or 75 hours or so. Lots happening with the Senators, and this could really start the chain of events here going forward over the next little bit. But first things first, our Sportsnet 650 Twitter poll question this morning, Kipper, is dealing with Connor McDavid's hit on Nick Leddy last night. Should he be suspended? Should McDavid be suspended? Right now, we've got almost 80% of our respondents saying most definitely. How do you see this? What does Department of Player Safety say?
That one to me is not black and white at all. When you see a guy trying to finish off a shot or a play and his angles start changing and you can see as Leddy tries to release the puck, his body positioning changes. Does McDavid come in and clip his head? No, he doesn't. Does he get a good portion of his head? Yes. But did he also get a good portion of the rest of Leddy's right side? I'd say yes, too. It all depends on the temperature of the water in that office and how much is played up because it is McDavid and how many people will say that, if you don't suspend it, it's because of McDavid, or, if he gets a game or two, it's because you want to send a message that you don't have preferential treatment on a superstar. I mean, I looked at it and I didn't think it was that bad. I really believe that you could probably get away with a fine. But if you feel the need to give him a game suspension, okay. But are we going to suspend him 3, 4, 5 games for that? Absolutely not.
I think a game.
Yeah,
at least.
I think he gets two, Nick. I don't know. It's tough to tell because here is a superstar. He's got like 12 penalty minutes. He didn't mean it, but I just think if you're part of the PA and you see that, you go, man, it doesn't matter who it is. You got to give him something.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't just he does catch his head, and according to the league office, when you talk to them, The head is not off limits. You can have a clean body check towards the head and not be penalized or suspended. So the question is, do they feel like McDavid got enough of Letty's body besides the head to deem it okay? And I don't think it's a no-brainer where you just say, well, he hit him in the head, and that's enough. It's all in the perception of what kind of message you want to send out there to the hockey world. And they feel like they need to give him a game or two. They will, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him not get suspended off this particular hit.
We'll see how that goes. Some said rather than suspending, playing with the Oilers is still enough of a punishment.
Hey,
Kipper, tell me this. I want to, with some of the big names that are out there from a trade deadline standpoint, Erik Branson, his name was kind of starting to float around with some trade rumors this week. Have you heard anything about Erik Branson's name being shopped about? I mean, the ice time has been so reduced here. Is there even a market for Erik Branson out there?
Oh, absolutely there would be a market for Erik Branson. There's a market for McQuaid with the Rangers, for goodness sakes. So 100%. Listen, you look at Vancouver's defense right now, and you just have no idea how they're going to hang on the next 20 games without Edler and Tanev. And, you know, Hutton and Stetcher now are up around 25-30 minutes a night. Pouliot struggle. Biega is a guy that tries awfully hard, but, you know, is on that cusp line between American Hockey League player and a fill-in in the National Hockey League. And then Branson's at 12 minutes. And I just don't think it's a good time to judge whether or not you want to change your philosophy now with Branson at the trade deadline. You just recently signed him to a 3-year deal. You gave him $12 million. The feeling was that you needed that type of guy around. What changed that you're going to trade Branson now based on how weak your blue line is? I just don't see it, guys. I don't see a Branson trade. I think the philosophy is when you sign him to that 3-year deal, that he was going to be around for the next little while. I don't see Jim Benning changing his mind on Branson now.
So, Nick, do we read too much into 12 minutes of ice time when these guys are absolutely depleted on the blue line and you have a veteran who you would think, okay, you're going to start eating up more minutes, and yet it's gone the other way? Are we doing the wrong thing as a media and fan bases? And would Erik not be thinking the same thing? Well, how am I sitting on the bench more when our big guys are gone?
Well, that's ultimately a question for Travis Green and why he's down to 12 minutes. You don't have to, be a genius to figure out that, he's probably got some issues with him and maybe a few others. And at times there's a comfort zone that maybe Travis doesn't have. But again, now to go from limited minutes now to being traded out of the organization, not at this point. I think they're going to do everything they can to kind of hang on and do what they can. But again, when you lose your top two defensemen and now you're still thinking that you're going to make a trade to get yourself in the playoffs because the conference is so weak in those wild card spots, no, I don't get it. I think Jim Benning, Travis Green, and the whole organization are rather looking at the big picture in the next year or two opposed to the last 20 games.
Kipper, Stone, Duchesne, DeZingle, what happens now, and where are the most likely destinations for these guys?
Oh, gosh. I think it's still wide open, and I think if you gave truth serum to Pierre Dorion, he couldn't answer that question right now. He's playing every which way that he can, whether it's Nashville, Columbus, the Boston Bruins, Calgary, Winnipeg, whatever the case is. The moment he gets off the phone with one club, he goes to another one, and he's just driving the price as high as he can. And I don't think this really goes too much in the next few days. I think his prices are awfully high, and I think teams are sitting on it. And until they see something of a change of attitude from Dorion, then this thing will go right into Monday. And that might be a good thing for our shows. But I don't think Dorion's price drops until late Sunday or early Monday, and then we'll have a better idea. But right now, it's crystal clear that all of those guys that you mentioned are in play, and Dorian's got a handful to deal with in the next few days.
Sportsnet 650.